That was Amir Locura from IASIS U Endeva Como Se Fosse Vor. I'd like to provide a report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. Three games were on tap for June 1st. The host Vancouver Canadiens blanked the Tri-City Dust Devils 5-0 in Rogers Field and Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. The visitors Eugene Emeralds shellacked the Hillsboro Hops 10-2 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon, and the host Spokane Indians thumped the Everett Aqua Sox 13-4 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. There was only one game on June 2nd as Everett turned the tables on Spokane to win 9-5, while Tri-City of Vancouver and Eugene at Hillsboro were rained out. There were two venue changes on June 4th. The visitors Eugene exercised Tri-City 25 as the Emeralds smashed 20 hits to the Dust Devils 7 hits at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. Hillsboro bested the host Spokane at 8-6 at Avista in Spokane Valley, Washington. And Everett tripled up the visitors Vancouver 6-2 at Funko in Everett, Washington. On June, City dusted off Eugene 7-2, Hillsboro thumped Spokane 11-2, and Vancouver obliterated Spokane 13-3. Sorry, there might be an issue here. Actually, sorry, let me look. I think I made an error here. Let me look for June 4th. Sorry about this. I think I got this wrong. Just a minute. Actually, sorry about that. I don't know what happened here. Okay. So June 5th. Sorry about that. It was actually Vancouver that obliterated Everett 13-3. On June 6th, Eugene doubled up Tri-City 4-2 in 10 innings. Spokane shellacked Hillsboro 9-4, and Everett quintupled Vancouver 5-1. Three games are on tap tonight. Eugene continues in Pasco against Tri-City at 6:30. Hillsboro renews in Spokane Valley at 6:35, and Vancouver resumes in Everett at 7:05. All times are Pacific.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out station to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Spokane Indians are first at 28-22, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are second at 28-24. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are third at 26-26. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are fourth at 24-25. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are fifth at 25-28. And the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are last at 23-29.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade, unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Welcome back. The fifth group is Affinity Trio's Hindsight. Here is End of a Love Affair. I would like to shift gears to the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. It is an amateur league of men's senior A box lacrosse, with many playing in the professional National Lacrosse League every winter. On June 1st, the host Nanaimo Timbermen edged the Maple Ridge Barrage 6-5 at Frank Crane Arena, and the visitors Burnaby Lakers bested the Coquitlam Adirondacks in a 12-10 barn burner at Poirier Sports Center. On June 2nd, the Victoria Shamrocks bested the host Nanaimo in a 10-9 slugfest. And Maple Ridge frightened the visitors Langley Thunder 16-9 at Planet Ice Camneely Arena in Maple Ridge. On June 5th, Langley turned the tables on Maple Ridge in a 10-8 barn burner at Langley Event Center. On June 6th, New West bested the visitors Coquitlam in a 13-12 slugfest at Queen's Park Arena. Tonight sees the Burnaby Lakers visiting the Victoria Shamrocks at the Q Center. The ball drop is at 6:45 p.m.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
Here are the current state in lacrosse association. Much like the BC Junior Lacrosse, 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for a tie. There might be also a point for an OTL loss as well. The Victoria Shamrocks are first at 4-0, 8 points. The New West Salmon Bellies are second at 3-0, 6 points. The Burnaby Lakers are third at 3-1 for 6 points. And the rest, the Maple Ridge Barrards are fourth at 1-3, 2 points. The Coquitlam Maidenhawks are 1-4 for 2 points, fifth. The Nanaimo Timbermen are, for some reason, 6-1-2, 2 points, even though they should actually be third, as they have lost the least amount of games among teams with one win. Anyhow, the Langley Thunder are last at 1-4 with just 2 points, much like the Coquitlam 8-X. Actually, it's because the goal differential is much... The Langley Thunder have given up... their goal differential, minus 22, is much worse than the Coquitlam 8-X, whereas their goal differential is minus 2. So the Langley Thunder is lost.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up a fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th, as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief, who retired last fall, as the Administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched his second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30th, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million. 480 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's target number, at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is a chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the Police Complaint Commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint issues, contributing factors, as part of Bill 17. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC Legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and a deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. On April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced that the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, who mentioned 367 officers and 61 civilian employees within, added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the Federal Public Ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the 5-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Zaterik of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said, "The BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impacts." Trevor Band, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following: "While the Minister Mike Farnworth is sensitive to the costs of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC, as he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe." The $75 million difference between Surrey RCMP A and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Band by saying farmers' power was to, quote, merely approved or not, Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction. Also on May 3rd, the SPS welcomed 12 recruits who will train in the Justice Institute of British Columbia. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the city's general manager, Cam Graywall, said there would have been no tax increase without the SPS, where the budget with the Surrey RCMP is $221.5 million. With the difference of $33.5 million, a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where the Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against. According to Tom Sitarek of Surrey Now Leader, one day after the meeting on May 7th, when the SPS also announced their Class 173 recruits graduating from the JIBC and deployed onto Surrey streets with their field officers. On May 13th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter. Based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal police board can object to any part of its budget to the Municipal Police Board and Director of Police Services by May 15th. Locke confirmed that Surrey will uphold its police budget, passed on May 6 at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength the SPS and Surrey RCMP of 785 officers at a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS, as the Justice Liu estimate the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. While Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, applauded the decision, where he also added that $150 million will be used to fund the transition, along with the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, as he mentioned, the Surrey JR impacted 427 employees and their families, according to multiple sources. The Surrey Mayor, Brenda Locke, had a press conference on the afternoon of May 23rd, where she said she'll have to consult with her council on a possible appeal while wearing a red jacket similar to what the RCMP officers wear, trash the BC NDP MLAs and non-Surrey Connect councillors, as the higher policing costs for a municipal police force, quote, more than willing to find acceptable for our residents, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. The next day, on May 24th, Hoekstra also reported on the Surrey Police Board asking the BC government to impose a police budget on Surrey, as its $141 million request to the city for 480 officers was rejected in May, earlier in May. Also on May 24th, the SPB provided their agenda for another meeting where it provided a detailed breakdown of SPS expenditures up to April at under $28.15 million, with the year projection at just over $141.5 million, with 390 active employees, 350 sworn officers, and 40 civilians at just under $24.2 million. The number might not be correct, actually. Let me just a minute. I think it was like 392, but sorry, just I posted it on my Twitter, so just a minute, please. There's a just bear with me for a few more seconds. I think by the end of April it was 392. Actually there were 392 employees for 24.02 million. Also on May 29th, according to Rob Shaw of ORCOP, the BC Premier David Eby reopened the door for negotiations 2 days before, where $150 million are still officially on the table. Also on May 29th, the Surrey Police Board held their scheduled meeting. The SPS website updated their numbers up to last month on their website. In its policing transition page, with 367 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, for a total of 427 officers. On June 5th, Linda Annis of the Surrey First claimed that this year's tax hike is higher than 7%, much closer to 12%, according to Tom Zaterek of Surrey Now Leader.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 21 of the Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic, on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is a Voice of the North. I might have time to do one more song, or perhaps not, as I'm really running against the clock at this time. I will end with another PSA and plus an ID.
Hello, this is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at thepeak@SFU. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.